Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel gives us an exclusive look behind the line of scrimmage.
And go under the helmet with the mic'd up Gary Barnage.
That's a catch. Definitely a catch.
And Joe Thomas bears all with Danny Shelton.
All right, so, well, he got it on backwards. So a bad start.
All that and more coming up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns. Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Well, everyone's looking forward to today's game in Pittsburgh in just a few hours. But first, we want to catch up with Nathan Zagura. He got a chance to talk with Johnny Manziel on the practice field and touch base with the backup on his highs and lows with last game.
Here with Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. And before we get into kind of a wider discussion, let's go through the touchdown play to Duke Johnson that culminated that 92-yard drive in the first half against the Bengals. Let's start pre-snap. What was going on?
Yeah, pre-snap, you know, I think we got a good play dialed up. You know, looking back at it, Duke just doing a good job getting out of the backfield and really coming all the way across the field to keep working, to keep fighting on that play and getting the end zone, which is to cap off that drive before the half was something we really needed.
So when you go through that pre-snap, you said ultimately it was Gary won, but as you watched the play, you looked right initially. So is that something that you saw? That's where you thought you had a best chance to
win? Yeah, when I saw Gary off the line get a little bit jammed for a minute, kind of got off it and then worked the other side. Couldn't really get a good vantage point to throw it down there in the red zone. Got to make sure we're not turning the ball over down there. Right. And then Duke made a heck of a play.
What do you think when you get out of the pocket? What's going through your mind? You saw the pressure come from the right side. You got around it. And then what's going through your mind? Just look down the field and see who comes open?
Yeah, on that one, you know, just tried to get out of the pocket. I actually think like there's a time where I kind of looked back to make sure we didn't have a flag or there wasn't anything, any problems. But, you know, it definitely slowed down a little bit. I saw Duke flying through there. I mean, the guy can absolutely roll as we've seen all year, but broke the pocket, was able to escape. You know, Dunlap and Michael Johnson, those guys who are on the edge are pretty lanky, pretty wide. So to be able to get out was a good little angle right there.
All right, so that was a great drive for you, and it was going against Cincinnati team. We know that was your first start last year. Didn't go as you would have wanted it to. So what changed from year one to year two, at least how you feel like you experienced the game?
Yeah, it's just the process of everything slowing down from, like I think Coach Pettine said it sometime last week, it looked like there was 13 guys on the field at times last year. You know, this year I was able to really try and get Alex and all those guys in sync up front, them help me help them, making sure we're okay with all of our receivers, making sure we're all on the same page. It's just the whole familiarity with playing at this speed, with this level, with what they kind of do as a scheme. So you go back and you get a chance to look at how they played me last year, play this a little different this year, but still to learn from each and every start. I continue to think every second that I'm on the field, I feel like I'm getting better.
Do you feel like, we've heard so many people say it's night and day for John. Do you feel like it's night and day for you?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Good. And what's the thing that you are kind of the most proud of in terms of your progress?
Yeah, just all the protections that we're doing, picking up, like just learning more and more about the defenses. It's different than college. You know, we're getting the ball out on the perimeter, trying to outrun people. In this league, you can't do it. So, you know, that's the biggest thing, is really trying to learn what these defenses are going to try and do. When one person does hear what it means, and, you know, it's a tough game. It's one of the hardest positions to play in all the country. So, you know, learning every week is huge for me.
All right, Johnny, thanks so much, and best of luck to you.
Appreciate it.
All right, man.
You got it.
Now, I don't mind seeing that again. That was such an exciting touchdown connection between Johnny and Duke. And one guy who's been catching a good amount of touchdown passes this season is...
Good guy, Gare.
Yes, Gary Barnage, the veteran tight end, is a star on and off the field. Take a look at how Gary is taking his success all in stride.
Gary, I want to be so nasty on these guys. They scream every snap. Yeah. But I want to up it more than we've ever upped.
Gotcha.
That's all
Good.
I want.
In a game, if you have a 15 to 18 play drive, it definitely takes your wind out. Because whether you're running routes, you're sprinting for 4 seconds, 5 seconds, you're coming back, then you got to block a 300, 280 pound guy and try and move him for 2.5, 3 seconds. And you do that 18 plays out, it takes a toll on you, it wins you, it gets your wind. So I think that's a huge aspect. You got to be in shape for that. If you can't gather your wind quick, it's tough to keep staying out there.
McCown, play action to Duke Johnson. Looks, throws, left side for Barnage. What a catch down by the pylon!
Every year has been different. I started off as a receiving tight end and moved the blocking back and forth. which I'll take as a compliment, because then people say, oh, he can block, oh, he can catch, which why it just to me it's both. He can do both instead of just one or the other. And I think that's what our whole tight end room tries for. We don't want to give any keys to the defense as in, oh, this guy's only going to run the ball when he's in. He's only going to throw the ball when he's in. And we try to strive where no matter who's in there, you don't know if it's going to be a run or a pass. And I think it just makes it harder on the defenses.
That's a catch. Definitely a catch.
Yeah. Well, Barnett says it's a catch, therefore it has to be.
It's my eighth year, so 8 years is a long time in the league. I think guys look up to me in the room, and I try to help them. I think we all try to help each other, because it's not like one person is a leader. I think all of our guys can be leaders, because they're going to see things we're not going to see. I'm going to see things they're not going to see. I think it's just helping each other out. That's a huge aspect, and we preach that in our room with our coach, too. He says, hey, if I miss something, point it out to me. So we're all coaching each other. I think that helps our whole room.
Third down. Here comes the blitz. He's got to get rid of this. He's going to fire it towards the end zone. Barnage up in the air, and he battles for the ball, and he's got it in his lap. Touchdown, Browns!
I've seen the catch two times where it's landed on my leg. I squeezed my legs and brought it in. It was a little bit of a luck and awareness. I felt the ball in my legs. It's luck that it landed there, and I just squeezed my legs and I brought it up because I saw a defender run over. I knew I had to get it to my hands because he saw the same thing. I don't think he saw it hit the ground, so he's like, oh, I got to get this ball out. So I was trying to get it to my hands as quick as possible so that would be a catch, and it all worked out. The only thing that I do cherish about it is we got the win. Because it wouldn't have mattered. If we didn't win, I wouldn't care one time about the catch or anything. But the fact that we actually won the game, too, that helps a lot. But I don't really look back on stuff like that because you can't. You can't rely on the past. You got to keep doing it, keep going forward.
Let's go!
I would trade all my stats for wins. I could not catch one ball. If we get the win, I don't care. I'd be happy with it because that's what it's all about. It's all about winning. It's not about personal stats in my eyes. So I don't really relish all that stuff. I'm more relishing the guys and how they do versus how I do. And I'm sure they're the same way.
Well, this year, Gary has already stacked up 602 yards receiving. That's just 1 yard shy of his career best, which is 603. And with just three more receptions this season, he will have more catches than his entire career, seven seasons combined. Gary's also been the go-to guy in the offense, and we're looking forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do today on the field in Pittsburgh. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here. We'll be right back. Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, see how the American whistle is made.
We make them from solid brass for the same reason musical instruments made out of brass.
Joe Thomas rocks a lava lava with Danny Shelton.
All right, do you have any nicknames?
And celebrate Veterans Day with the Browns.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now on the field, Tashawn Gipson delivers the hits. So let's see how he tackled the questions in this week's Junior Reporter.
Hi, my name's Boone. What's your name?
My name's Tashawn.
What's your favorite food?
French fries, my favorite food. What about you?
Pizza.
Pizza, that's an awesome choice.
What's your favorite TV show when you were a kid?
I used to like Scooby-Doo. Have you ever seen Scooby-Doo?
Yep.
It's a good show, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, my man.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would say lightning speed, like Flash. That's my favorite superhero, so I like that. What about you? Kind of tough, huh?
Lasers.
Lasers? That's awesome, too. We could be superhero buddies.
What do you put on a hot dog?
You must put ketchup on hot dogs. And that's the only thing I really put on there. Sometimes mustard, but really ketchup if I want to go. Mustard if I want to be fancy, but ketchup for sure. What about you? What you like on your hot dog?
Ketchup.
Ketchup. See, we're on the same page. My man, give me some. All right.
Great job, Boone and Tashawn. Now, Sarah and I have a little riddle for all of you. What can no football game be played without, yet no players or coaches use them?
This little beauty.
That's right. A whistle. The American Whistle Company is located right here in Ohio, and we can all now see how it all goes down.
Yeah, we're the only manufacturer of metal whistles in the United States. Make a good, high-quality whistle. We hope that means something to people. It all begins right here in Columbus, Ohio. They start out, we make them from solid brass, for the same reason musical instruments made out of brass. Brass has resonance, it makes a louder, better sound. Initially, it starts out as a stamping operation, and the part at the top initially comes out as a, we call them Mickey Mouse ears, because they look like Mickey Mouse ears. And then we punch out the bottom. There's four different presses involved. And then they're assembled and soldered and sent to the plater. And so we solder the seams, and that increases the decibel rating quite a bit.
We're always looking for them on the commercials or as the game's going on, looking to see who has which whistle, if it's ours, if the safety tip belongs to us, if the lanyard belongs to us. We're always looking.
We're approaching about 1 million whistles a year. Another unique feature that we have is we have the ability to die strike a logo, a name, in quantity, a badge, anything on top of the whistle. We're the only ones in the world that I'm aware of that have the ability to do that. Actually, I contacted the NFL, and I called them. They're off some Park Avenue in New York City, and I don't know how I did it, but I worked my way all the way to the head official, and I told them that, you know, you give those players a gold ring, you had to give the officials a gold whistles. And they tried it, and they loved it, and they did it for 19 years in a row. You know, the whole company takes a lot of pride in that. I mean, all the employees every year, everybody has their role, and they're basically almost handmade because they're, you know, one at a time, they're individually selected and polished, hand-polished and buffed, and they're 24-karat gold-plated.
So who knew making a whistle could be so intricate? And did you know that when a ref is awarded the Super Bowl, he gets a gold whistle in the mail? Oh, that's a little fun fact for you.
I like little fun facts.
Well, Dog Pound, don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back. When we return, Lou Gross's grandson shares some fantastic memories, and the Browns open their practice to servicemen and women on Veterans Day. And Joe Thomas bears all with Danny Shelton.
So I am wearing the lava right now.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, this week in practice, Coach Pettine opened up practice to honor servicemen and women. Of course, Veterans Day was this week. Take a look at how the Browns players showed their appreciation.
Cleveland Browns opened our closed practice to those who serve our country, whether they're currently active on duty or whether they've served in the past. And this moment actually isn't made possible without Coach Pettine's blessing. Each year he's been extremely generous. It's the least we can do to all those men and all those women who serve our country and have served in the past.
It's just something, you know, I believe in. And it's you get in the National Football League and to where we are, and we get an opportunity to give back and honor those who serve for our country, and any chance that we get to thank them, salute them, honor them, we're going to take it. This is an important day for the Cleveland Browns.
My dad used to bring me when I was way younger, so I haven't been here in years. He would bring us out here and watch it, and he has all girls, so I guess that was just his way to spend time with us, but now I appreciate it, and I was able to bring him out here today.
You can just tell by talking to these guys how much fun they had coming out to practice today and getting to see some of us and getting a few autographs and shaking a few hands and taking some pictures. It's really special for them, and I think it's probably even more special for us.
The players just seem to always light up when they're around members of the military. And one former Brown and Hall of Famer, Lou Groza, served in the Army during World War II. And we sat down with his grandson, Justin Groza, recently. And we heard the incredible story of how Lou signed his contract with the Browns.
He played his freshman year at Ohio State for Paul Brown. And then he got drafted into World War II, was an Army surgical tech in Okinawa. And got a letter from Paul Brown saying, you know, "Dear Lou," something along the lines of, "I hope this letter finds you well. I'm thinking of starting a professional football team in Cleveland. And I think that letterhead his original contract, which he signed like in a surgical tent in Okinawa during World War II. And so he returned it. Then when he came back from World War II and reported to training camp in his fatigues with his duffel bag slung over his shoulder. You know, he was also generally really friendly and involved guy in the community. So I got to learn, I got to see firsthand someone who was really active in the community and always kind of giving back in one way or another. And I think that also had an influence on me. Once I graduated from BW, I went active duty for about 7 years. You know, regardless of the state of Afghanistan now, still pretty proud to have cleared a lot of minefields left over from the Soviets and to have built roads and schools, things like that. The passion for me isn't really business. It's trying to help employ homeless veterans. So does America need another bag company? No, it doesn't. But does America need a company that prioritizes employing homeless veterans? It does. If it ever really wants to solve the issue of veteran homelessness, then we need more companies to start employing homeless veterans. So that's why I chose the company and then chose bags. So we really have to do it kind of in a reverse order. Raise the money first, see how much we can raise, and then based on that, we can hire. Because if we're going to give someone the promise of employment or the hope of employment, we have to make sure we have enough money to pay them for, you know, at least a year. Everyone generally agrees that we should support our veterans, and especially that they shouldn't be sleeping out on the streets if they served our country.
Now that story is going to be tough to top. Thank you, Justin, for all that you do, all of your service, and all of you vets out there. We really appreciate all that you do. Inside the Cleveland Browns, we'll be right back. This week's three signs for success presented by Crystal Clear Imaging. Number one, dominate on defense and take advantage of a Steelers offense without Big Ben. Number two, look to establish the run game early against the Steelers' 21st ranked run defense. Number three, stay consistent on the offensive side of the ball and finish the second half strong.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, Joe Thomas, he loves to push the envelope. And this week, he even donned his hat in a lava to take on rookie Danny Shelton.
Welcome to the Emmy-nominated Joe Thomas Hour, the best 2 minutes of your life. We've got the greatest Browns rookie in history, Danny Shelton, on today, and he's going to answer some excellent questions that our producer has mailed in for us today. So I am wearing the lava right now, and Danny is going to explain a little bit about what I'm wearing and how I'm wearing it imperfectly, or maybe perfectly.
All right, so, he got it on backwards.
So a bad start.
But this is more of a formal way that you're wearing it. He wore it, tucked into the side, and that's like a way that we use it when we're going to like church or a wedding, and it's usually like a plain color. But usually when you're, just hanging out, usually when you're hanging out, you tie it and put it through the front, tuck it through the front. But since we're doing an interview, it's appropriate for him to have it like that, and he's rocking it pretty well.
There is no doubt about it. A chief would wear it like this, correct?
Correct. Chiefs always have theirs, over the belly button, and then it goes down to their legs. And so, he got the posture as a chief, and so, there's no problem, letting him wear it like that.
What was the first thing that you were ever grounded for?
Oh, man. Eating too much.
Eating too much?
Yeah, my mom, she got disappointed in me because I was being selfish with the food, and I was hogging it to myself, and my siblings got mad and told on me, and then my mom ended up making me eat a whole chicken by myself and a pot of rice, and it was basically my punishment, and I was crying while I was eating it. I remember. And she just threw me in the room, and I was on timeout for a long time.
That's an awesome story. So it's kind of like the old standby of, if you get caught smoking cigarettes when you're a kid, your dad makes you smoke a pack until you throw up. But in your case, it was food.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, do you have any nicknames?
My mom used to call me the vacuum because I used to eat a lot.
I'm sensing a theme of this interview here.
Yeah, pretty much. She used to call me the disposal too because they give me the leftovers.
Are you the biggest member of your family?
Pretty much.
All right, so Head & Shoulders has called you and signed you to be the next Head & Shoulders model. Can you look into the camera and give us your tagline? What would you say?
Head & Shoulders. Let it flow.
Ooh, I like that. That was kind of sexy. Lastly, we're going to shift to football here. Danny Shelton picks up a fumble in the end zone next Sunday. What do you do to celebrate?
I'm jumping into the dog pound, man.
You think you could get up the wall?
I think I can. I watched a lot of kung fu movies, so you know, jumping off the wall and getting up there is not a problem.
Are you going to make any of the people in the front row sign waivers in case you fall over the wall and land on top of them?
Nah, man. They're going to have to try to catch me.
That's a scary sight, people. Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Joe Thomas Hour, the best 2 minutes of your life.
Well, just when you think the Joe Thomas Hour can't get any better, that just happened.
I agree.
Thank you to Danny and Joe as well.
Now it's that time we all look forward to because today we take on Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for Andy and Nathan and the crew for Browns Countdown.
Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you all next week. And as always, go Browns!